Thank God. Hallelujah. Because we thank y'all for that selection. Finally, they've been working on it and working on it. They laugh and it's like, no, we just practiced it last night. Second practice. Oh, you kidding? Hallelujah. Well, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the beautiful song service and for the energy in this room. Lord, we need the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And I think, Lord, sometimes we forget about what we have and what you've given us to walk through this bad place with. And that's your Spirit. And Father, remind us of, again, who we are in you. And let us not be discouraged, but encouraged, because at the end of the book says we win. And help us to remember the end from the beginning, and to know that we're in you and you are in us. And we thank you, Lord. And Lord, look upon our study today and open us our hearts and help me to get out of your way and out of everyone else's way so that I won't be seen nor heard. But Lord, you will be seen and Lord, you will be heard. But we hear from men all the time. We don't need to hear from another man except one man, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to be touched by another man except one man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also ask, Lord, that you would look upon those that are here and touch them as well. And Father, arrest them in a manner that they'll get out of the way so that we all can hear and receive and benefit from what there saith the Lord into our hearts this day. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know really what you've got in Christ Jesus? Do you really know? Do you live like it? Do you live your daily life like the conqueror that you are? Or are you still under, what do they call it, under the circumstances? Right? What you doing under the circumstances? You know, we could walk above the circumstances. The circumstances are of this world, but we are not of this world. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans chapter 6, if you'll take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 6, we will study about our condition of being dead to sin as believers. We are dead to sin. Paul continues his teaching here to the Romans. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. It's a strange opening there, but he's talking about some of the non-Christians that were slandering them. And they were saying that what Paul was preaching, that because God's grace abounds more and more and more, that and when you sin, they're saying that Paul said, well, when sin has abounded, grace much more abounded. And they were saying, so what Paul is saying, that you should sin all you can so you can get more grace. That's what they were saying. It was slanderous. And they misinterpreted what he was saying. And that just doesn't make sense to say, go on sin, get all the sin in you can. That just doesn't work. He said, should we do that? Should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can you live in something that you're dead to? How can a dead man still enjoy his favorite food when he was alive? Here's a question. If a certain individual loved pizza or Chinese food or roast beef or something like that, and it was his favorite, with oxtails and cornbread and nana pudding and collard greens, and my mouth just, you know, I mean, he loved it. Everybody know when he come, you know what you need to cook. You gotta cook it. And say, I know, let's go get some greens, get the oxtails, and go on, come on, fix the cornbread, and we're gonna set a table for him. See, and when he come, he's just as happy as he can be. He sits at the table before it's time to eat. Well, now, if this man is dead, You can lay all that stuff around that casket all you want. But he's not going to get up and eat one bite of it. Now, some folks do that. They say, in honor of him, we're going to cook a pot of greens. And folks do that, you see. They set them up in cars and set them on motorcycles at their funerals and different things like that. And they do all that kind of stuff. The guy's dead. He can't enjoy no motorcycle. That's for you, not for him. And so it's when he's alive that he can appreciate these things. But when he's dead, there is no appreciation there. Not like when he's alive. And he said, how can we that are dead to sin, how could that be? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not? That means something that we're supposed to know. That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And baptism means that identified with Jesus. You're identified. You should be identified with Jesus. In the community, when they see you, they should see Oliver and Jesus in Oliver. They should see Bill and Jesus in Bill. Identified with Jesus. That means baptized. It also speaks of identification. We haven't baptized yet, but we need to. If anyone needs to be baptized, we've already bought the apparatus, and it's been sitting out there for months now. And listen, if y'all know someone needs to be baptized that know the Lord, y'all need to do, because it's going to get cold after a while and nobody's going to go. They're going to use that as an example, see, or as an excuse. And so we are baptized into his death. That means when he died, we died with him, if we are identified with him. It says, therefore, we are buried with him in baptisms or by identification. We are buried with him into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We were buried with him in baptism. I mean, he died, we died. He was buried, we were buried. And just like he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's the magnificence and the praise and the worship and the excellency of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. We should be walking in newness of life. Our life should be different than before we met him. It should not be the same again. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, yes, that as he was resurrected indeed from death, we will also be resurrected from death. But I believe this is talking about how we live our life today in the resurrection. Now, listen, we saw some pictures of Jesus after the resurrection. He didn't just resurrect and disappear out of the world. He walked around for quite a while and was seen, the Bible says, going in and out with the disciples before he was caught up into the heavens. And so we have a few pictures of him in Scripture that tells us how he was even when he walked after his resurrection. And the Bible says that we should also be in the likeness. That means our lives should be under the control of Jesus in that manner, in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, when it's saying knowing this, that means this is something you need to know. This is something you should know. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We got to know this. You've got to know that the body of sin has been destroyed. It was crucified with him. So we would henceforth, from this point forward, not serve sin. Now, he was speaking to Christians at the time. That means, apparently, the Christians at this time need to realize that they should not be serving sin. That means that they were probably serving sin at the time. Otherwise, why would there be a need for this kind of message to the folks? And so apparently they needed this teaching. They needed to be enlightened. They needed to be instructed that, listen, this is how you're supposed to live your Christian life. You should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That means you're justified. That means acquitted. It's a court term. You've been acquitted from sin. Listen, sin is a hard taskmaster. And I've talked to folks and said, no, I won't do it. I said, yes, you will too. My ex-brother-in-law, my sister got saved, and he wasn't going to come to Christ. He said, I won't pull her away. I said, oh, yes, you will too. No, man, I won't do it. I said, yeah, you will. You will. You don't know Christ. You will. You will fight against this life in her. No, Roy, no, you're wrong. I said, yeah, you will too. Listen, those that are not in Christ are your enemies, y'all. Now, they might not come and shoot at you or stab you or anything like that. But, I mean, you get to talking to them and you'll see just how quickly you cross them. And how quickly and how much you do not agree. You'll see how they want to change the subject and go on to something else. Talk about construction or something, some worldly something. See? We're different. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to act different. And not that it's an act, but it's something that should be coming from the inside of you in a natural kind of a way. And when I say natural, that's not a good word, but it's the best we got. But it's really in a spiritual way. But it's a naturally spiritual way. So it's not something you have to push or force to happen. You get to allow it to come forth. It says in verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe. That word believe is faith. We have faith that. We believe that we shall live also with him. We shall live also with him. Revelation 1:18 says that, behold, I am he that dead and live and am alive forevermore. And he said, I have the keys to hell and death. That was Jesus. There's only one person that has the keys to hell and death, and that's Jesus. And in Revelation, he said, I was dead, and I live, and I am alive forever. No, and not only that, I got the keys to hell and death. Keys open and locked, y'all. Keys open and keys locked. And so in him, he has opened the door to death and hell for us. And he has brought us out. Well, say amen, somebody. I know it's a common thing here, you know, but this is good stuff. It says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over Christ. What are you going to do with someone that, let's just say, what is death going to do with someone who entered into death and then got up and walked out of death? I don't know any man that's done that. Folks say, well, I died and went to heaven and came back. Okay, well, yeah, all right. I don't know. Something was still pumping in your body. Something was still going on there, you see. But they died again. Hey, y'all with me? Even if someone was brought back from the brink of death in the operating room or emergency room, even if they were brought back, Lazarus was raised from the dead. Lazarus died eventually. He didn't stay alive forever. You see? He didn't. But Christ, when he defeated death, he dies no more. There's no more. Death has no dominion over him. Death has no power over him. And he was raised from the dead. He dies no more. Death has no dominion over him. It has no kingship over him. For in that he died, the Bible says he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. He died unto sin. What is that? Jesus Christ became sin for a moment. And he took our sin on him just for that moment. And he took that sin and nailed it to the cross. He judged that sin on the cross. And he was buried for your sin and for my sin. He took it. He took our sin on the cross for the moment. That's why the Father, when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's like God was gone. All of a sudden, that knowledge of God and the presence of God, he knew no more because God can't look on sin. And for that moment, For that moment, Jesus became sin for us. The God-man became sin for us who knew no sin, and it's so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And my grandson said, amen. It says, for he died, and he died unto sin only one time. And in that he lives unto God. Now listen, it's saying now what we need to do is to reckon also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon is an accounting term. Reckon is a term that they, if you reckon numbers, my father used to reckon. He's called reckon. He do the math. He's doing the math. They reckon. And reckoning is like with a checking account. When you reconcile your checking account balance, you're reckoning the books. You're balancing the books. With a checking account, you gotta make sure that what your checking account says agrees with what the bank says, or you're gonna find yourself with a whole lot of bank fees that you really don't want. And you got to reconcile these books, your checkbook with the books of the bank. And if you can't get it right, you need to visit the bank to make sure that you got it the same thing the bank has, and take all the time you need, because it's gonna cost you $35 or $40 every time you write the wrong check, see? Every time you bounce a check, and when you bounce one, everything else after that start bouncing, because you're already under balance. And the other ones you didn't mean to bounce, but you done bounced four checks already. And every time you bounce it, there's a charge. That's sin, man. that's bank sin. Amen. Amen now. That's bank sin. But it's sin against you. See? That you're gonna pay for your sin. Amen. And so you want to reconcile your books. And in the same way, it says that we should reckon ourselves in the same way. It says, likewise, we should reckon ourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin. As he died to sin once, we should reconcile ourselves right along with him. But dead to sin, but reckon yourselves as alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As he said, without me, you can't do anything. So you cannot reconcile yourself to God without Jesus, without him. And it says, reckon yourself to be dead to sin. Reckon yourself to be alive to God. That's a given. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's given this. This is a gift. It's not something we get to work for or go and get. It's something he says, now, I have fixed this and I made it this way. Now, I want you to look at it in this way from now on. Because this now is how it is. You are now dead to sin. Sin does not have dominion over you anymore. You have no obligation to sin. You are now alive to God through Jesus Christ. And it says, as a result of this, don't let sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let your body lead you. That's what it says. Don't let sin reign. The reign is like a king, one that has dominion. It says, don't let that happen. You can stop that from happening through the sure act of the will. But before Christ, you could not stop it from happening. You had no authority to stop it from happening because sin reigned over you before Christ. Sin reigned over you. No matter how much you willed, You could not stop it. You were going to do what your master told you to do. Your master sin reigned over you, and you were going to do what he told you to do, just like I was talking about my brother-in-law. I won't do it. I said, yes, you will. No, I won't. I said, oh, yeah, you will too, because sin reigned over that man's life. He has to do what his master tells him to do. And if he doesn't know Christ, he's going to fight this person that does. He's not going to try to kill her or nothing like that. You never know. But I'm saying, every time she says something about Christ, he's going to cut it. She's going to cut in on it. Every time she does something to represent Christ, he's going to say, that just don't make no sense. Why would God make you do that? Well, I just feel led to do it. Well, I don't understand why you need it. He's going to fight it every time. He'll fight it, and he fought it, too. He fought it, tooth and nail. So, I mean, it's okay to have worldly friends, but they can't be your close friends. If they become your close friends, they're gonna knock you out. They're gonna knock you out. I mean, how else are they gonna hear the gospel if you don't get close enough to share the gospel? But don't you start running with them. Let's say if you run with adults, you pick up fleas. All right. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Yeah, let not sin reign. Don't let it rule in your mortal body to obey it in the lust thereof. Man, you let your body go, you'll sin just as much as anybody else. They won't be able to tell the difference between you out in this world. They say, well, that's a church man. Man, he running everything out here, though. Ain't no control. There's no oversight. He just going. I said, man, he worse than me. You better be careful around him. He going to mess you up if you let it have its way. Amen. It says, neither yield your members as instruments. That's as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That talks about an act of the will. In Christ, you have the right and you have the authority to yield yourself to God. Outside of Christ, you did not have the right, you did not have the authority, and you did not have the ability to yield yourself to God. But in Christ, you have the right, you have the authority, and you have the ability to yield yourself to God. But it's by an act of the will that you do it. Amen. The law was given to control the old nature. But we have a new nature. That's why when you go to trying to live by the law, you're trying to control the old nature. You're wasting your time. You ain't going to control the old nature with the law. It can't be controlled. No one ever could keep it but one man. But we have a new nature, and we are to live in accordance with the new nature that we have. And listen, I'm not saying you're supposed to sit down and figure this thing out and make a list, and I will not do this, and write back in the law again. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do it like that. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do it like that. Well, how do you do it? You obey Christ. You obey him. Well, what is it that he wants me to do? Dude, you need to read his word and find out. You need to study his word. If you're not studying his word, how can you obey Christ? You're going to get it all on Sunday when you come here? No, you're not. You might get a couple little lights shining this way and direct. But one of the best things you get is the direction to study for next week. Go and look this up and go down this path and see what this has to say to you. If something comes alive inside of you, God is telling you something. God is trying to show you something that you need to better understand. If you're sitting there and the light comes on inside of you, that's something that you need to write down or make a note and pursue it, at least for the rest of the week or the rest of the month, or however long it's alive to you and however long it's feeding you. If you ignore these things, you're going to not walk in obedience to God because you don't have the information. You don't have the direction. Listen, when God told me about Paul and his thorn and about Jesus praying in the garden, he fixed all of that other stuff in me at the same time. All of a sudden, all the turmoil was fixed right then. When I heard him, I went, oh, okay, Lord. Bam, that was fixed. No more tantrum. No more upset. Okay, Lord. When he gets you there and he shows it to you, he also fixes whatever needs to be fixed for you. But you need to know what he's saying to you so that you can go about life in the right kind of way. That you will know how and which direction to go in order to yield yourself to God. You are not going to figure this thing out on your own. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. He helps. He directs you. But do you follow the Holy Ghost? Do you follow his promptings and his leadings? That's why he's there, to instruct you and teach you and lead and guide you into all truth. That's what Jesus said about him. You got the best instructor and teacher and guide in you called the Holy Ghost. If you know Christ, the Holy Ghost is there to lead and guide you. And he teaches as you study the word. You will not read this word as you do a normal textbook. It will not yield the same thing that you would in a textbook. It's a different type of knowledge that comes from reading the Word of God. It's a spiritual knowledge. He gives it to you by revelation. He'll show you things. He'll give you information. You'll try to talk to me about it, and I say, well, hey, good, amen, I'm glad for you. He didn't show me, he's showing you. You got to reckon yourselves to be alive to God, alive unto righteousness and to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You're not under the prescriptive usage. You're not under this regulation. Folks think that I've got to stand in a certain kind of a way, and I've got to act in a certain, you look like a robot, I got to act in a certain kind of way, and I should not do it this way, and they shouldn't do it that way, and I shouldn't do it that way, and they're doing this prescriptive thing, and they're nowhere near where God is. You're not under the law, he's saying. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. And grace is the influence, it's the divine influence on the heart. And it's that reflection out into the world. You're under grace, you're under the divine influence of your heart. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. He's not saying, oh yeah, we should walk in sin. I told you a week or so ago, listen, deliberate sin, you pay for that here while you're here. You don't think you're going to do it and die and miss it. Yeah, you're going to reap what you sow in this life. Deliberate, you reap what you sow in this life. Oh, God, take me home. Yeah, right after you reap this. Deliberate sin. I'm going to do it. I'm getting up, going to do it. You reap what you sow in this life. Accidental sin, you missed. It was a mistake. It was an error. I missed and slipped into that. They aggravated me so much until I just had to back them off me. I tried to get them off. I tried to be nice. I tried to ignore them. But they kept on messing with my flesh, and I let my flesh loose on them. Oh, wait a minute. You're the preacher. You let your flesh loose? Well, it kind of got it away from me. That happens, y'all. Come on now. Amen, y'all. Y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about because yours get away too. Something mess with you, man. Yeah, you pop off on them. And then you start feeling guilty like I can't be saved acting like that. That doesn't affect your salvation. You know, we got two natures. We're going to talk about that next week. We got two natures. You know, that's why you reckon yourself to be alive unto God to righteousness. And by the act of the will, you live in this area. And then sometimes the Bible says that we need to flee the very appearance of sin. Sometimes we can't flee, but it says we should. You see something, it's like, oh no, I got to go. You know, take off and run with everything you got. Don't hang around it, especially if you relate to it. Sin shall not. It's not, it doesn't say that sin should not, or sin might not. It says sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Shall we sin? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom? We obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Did it just get quieter just that I stopped talking? To whom ye yield yourselves or your members to obey, his servants you are. Whether of sin to death or obedience unto righteousness. And so, listen, you yield your members to sin. That's your master. Y'all, you know, Christians, you don't ever get a Christian to admit, I'm doing the work of the devil right now. Christians won't say that, but many times they do. They be doing Satan's work. was yielding their members to sin. And that's the work of the devil, because since by sin, death came in, and the devil is the progenitor of sin. And so when we sin, we're yielding our members to the devil. But can I get you to say that you serve Satan? Somebody? Can I get you to say you serve Satan? God is not. You won't say it, but I'm telling you that there are times when you serve Satan. You don't want to. And you don't realize many times that you're obeying Satan. We got 2 amens. Let's do it. You people heard me. I know y'all hear me. But listen, I'm serious here. We need to watch this. Don't be yielding your members to sin. And yield your members to God. And the reason it's saying that is saying because you can. You can, by an act of your will, yield your members to God. Or you can, by an act of the will, not yield your members to sin. Don't just say that it overpowered me. When you didn't know Christ, yeah, it overpowered you. You had no choice. But in Christ, it cannot overpower you. You give it. You just move in that area. Sometimes you might trip into something or fall into something. Amen. I've tripped over and fell into something, and I saw it, and I was backing up as fast as I could. Oh, my goodness, what now? That's how you're supposed to do, man. You fall into it, you recognize it, you got to back up. See? Don't be wallowing in it. And well, I'm here, I might as well get the whole, lick all the candy off this. You know what I mean? Just lick all the candy off this little candy stick, while I'm here. No, I know. You got to get off that, man. You got to, when you recognize that, gotta go. You got to start praying. Say, help me, help me, help me. Deliver me. You got to start. You got to let go. It's an act of the will. Hallelujah. But God did think. Yeah, you stay there long enough, you won't even see when it gets up and locks the door. All right, now. Gets up and locks the door. So, yeah, he had a way out. He didn't even notice it. Got up and you heard the click. You so messed up. Now it's click. You didn't hear the click. You might look at that. Amen. Amen, y'all. Romans rough now. The epistles are where we live. And I've been waiting a long time to get to the epistles. I preached around them and all of this, but when you're preaching through the epistles, you got no choice but to go straight through the next subject. You got to deal with that next subject. And some of it's really nice and some of it's not so nice, but we really need the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So help us God. Amen. We need the truth. Verse 17, but God did think that ye were, the past tense, you were the servant of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or instruction which was delivered to you. And so listen, he's saying, look, he's making a statement to us and to the Romans about them. He's saying, you were that, but you're not that anymore. Well, he just said, don't let sin reign in your body. But apparently they were. But they didn't realize who they were and what they had. And so they were back and forth in this direction, saying, look, this is how this should be. Know ye not this. Know ye not that. He's telling them, you need to know this. You need to understand that this is how this is. You need to understand that this is who you are. You need to understand that this is what you've become in Christ Jesus. See? And he says, look, you were that now, but you've obeyed now from the heart that doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free, not going to be, you have been made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's what he's saying. Saints, in Christ, we've been made free from sin. I've said it several different ways. We have no obligation to serve sin. We have no obligation.
We do it sometimes, but we're not obligated to do it. Not anymore. No obligation. Being then, look how, this is all positive. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, to him you yield your members to, his servants ye are. So now you yield your members to righteousness, and now you are servants of God and servants of righteousness. He said, I'm saying this after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh. The flesh has a hard time hearing spiritual things. You know, speaking in a spiritual language is not the tongues that we always people try to speak in. Speaking in a spiritual language is this. This is a spiritual language right here. Because if you take this out there and start talking to people, they will not understand what you're saying. You might as well be speaking in tongues. You might as well be speaking in tongues because they're looking at you and batting and wondering, what does all that mean? Those words don't work together here. It's just like speaking in tongues. This is a spiritual language that he's talking here. That's what this is. You're being made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. I speak this after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants of uncleanness, of demonic foulness, that's what that means. As you have yielded your members, servants of uncleanness, and to iniquity, that's illegality, uncleanness, unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness or purity. This can be done. He's saying this is how a Christian should live. This is what a Christian looks like. You don't go out there and yield yourself servant to sin every time it shows up. You have the authority and the ability and the right to turn it down. You do. You know, just because they're serving drinks don't mean you're supposed to keep going back to the bar. It don't mean you're supposed to go to the bar the first time. You say, well, everybody else drinking, so what? Anyway, what you doing there? You know, pay your respects and go home. It's nothing there for you. You're not going to get out on the floor and dance. You're not going to walk away drunk. You shouldn't. If you do, you're yielding yourself unto sin. They're going to say, oh, he ain't nothing about nothing. You know, he go to church, right? He ain't nothing about nothing. Look at him. He's drunk as everybody else. I was sitting, he came by and drunk my drink. Yeah. You know, don't do that. Yield your members to holiness and to righteousness. That's by an act of the will. You can do it. It's saying you can do it. Hallelujah. But when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You were not expected. God didn't expect you. The devil didn't expect you to do anything righteous. You couldn't do anything righteous. You couldn't do anything godly. There was no godly to come out of someone who was servants of sin. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? And I hate to think about my past life because it's really shameful. For the end of those things is death. But now being made, y'all say, what do you mean past life? You had a bad past life? You was a bad boy? Was I a bad boy? My wife said, amen. there are some shameful times. And for you too. There were some shameful times in your past life. Shameful, shameful times. Yes, buddy. That's us, you know. Amen. Yeah. There's nothing glorious about those days. But now being made free from all of that stuff, free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. That's forever and ever. When it's over, it's not going to end bad for you. When it's over, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You've got your fruit unto righteousness. You'll live a righteous life and a holy life, and then when you die, everlasting life, hallelujah, Jesus Christ will be there to welcome you. After that, I don't care who, I mean, he could send Peter or I don't care who he sends. Amen. It'll be the kingdom of our Lord. And as long as absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See? and we live this life for Him, and we live a righteous life and a holy life. You say, well, I didn't live holy yesterday. Well, live holy today. Repent and turn around and get busy. For the wages, the Bible says, of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good way to end a chapter? Go ahead on. Don't pity Pat. Give him a hand. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the same way you came in is the same way you got to remain. You came in by faith, and you got to remember to continue to walk and live by faith. Yeah, you got to learn to walk by faith, not by sight. Because that sight will deceive you and will trick you. You think you're doing something like you're supposed to do, and you're not. Well, Lord, thank you for your word today. We're just so glad that you are allowing us to study through this tremendous book of Romans. And we just look forward, Lord, and I hope that according to your will, you will allow us to come back again and continue this great study. Pray, Lord, that we've heard what you've given us to hear, and that we will take it to heart. Father, we will think on it, and we will pray over it, and that we will allow ourselves to be obedient to you and no longer obedient to sin, and walk in righteousness and holiness upright before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.